happening, my kids? This is Danny of the Ultrasonic Player, welcoming you to another amazing episode of Pokemon Rewind. And for those of you who are new and just stumbled upon on this podcast, what this podcast is all about is that it is a podcast where we here at the Arcade Archives get a chance to cover the story arc of the Pokemon anime. And in the case of what we're doing right now, we are going to be covering a specific story arc, which is Season 2, Adventures in the Orange Island. And with me on this amazing trek through the Orange Island is my good pal and partner in crime fighting, Joshua the Overner.
Hello, everyone. I'm so proud of Danny. He introduced the podcast so well. I'm going to cry. Oh, yeah, I'm going to cry. He's so wonderful.
I try to really make a good impression on my master. The student has now finally is becoming the teacher.
That's right.
I love it.
Are you trying to sound like Joey Wheeler from Yu-Gi-Oh? Are you trying to sound like Joey Wheeler from Yu-Gi-Oh?
A little bit. I was trying to go for a little bit of Joey Wheeler, a little bit of Konohamaru, a little bit of both.
It sounds good. Oh, man.
I'm trying, man.
Thank you so much for that intro. That's really awesome. So welcome, everyone, to the Pokemon Rewind podcast. And we're really excited that you're here. If you're new to this, we're really excited that you're listening. If you're a Pokemon fan of any caliber, thank you for listening to this. We're going to jump into a brand new segment that I have just come up with in the last 5 minutes. I think I'm going to try out, not every week, because not every week we're going to have Pokemon news, but this week we do. So welcome to our brand new segment, Pokemon News. So this week we had two news items that I just wanted to cover real quick. First, this is April, and April is the month of Jirachi. So if you have not gotten this legendary Pokemon yet, then go on to the Mysteries Gift on your game. It could be Pokemon X, Y, Ruby, Omega Ruby, or Alpha Sapphire. You can actually download Jirachi for free. You don't have to pay for it. It is for free. And I kind of like Jirachi. It's a Steel Psychic type. Have you ever used a Jirachi there, Danny?
Nope, I have not. But I'm really looking forward to using it as soon as I can. I've already gone ahead and gotten the Pokemon, so I'm just trying to level myself up so that way my Pokemon doesn't loaf around, and disobey, but still, I did get it, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Good.
Using it.
Just remember, it is a level 100, so you technically can't train it. However, because most legendary Pokemon can learn pretty much most of any TM you give it, so you can kind of customize this Pokemon to however you want to do it. So this is a pretty cool Steel Psychic type. There isn't very many Steel Psychic types. The only one that's coming to mind right off the bat is Metang, who is an awesome Pokemon. Bronzor is another one now that it just popped in my head. Steel Psychic types are pretty good, not bad. Their defense is, they're more of a physical defensive Psychic types, because more Psychic types aren't really physically defensive. They're more special defensive. This is both.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty cool Pokemon. It uses a lot of good moves. It also comes with a berry, holding on to a berry, and also Serene Grace, which means it doubles the effect of anything that you do. So that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Now, speaking of steel types, we have some news from a magazine in Japan called KoroKoro. And to tell you the truth, I'm really not surprised by this news. I really wasn't surprised. It didn't blow my mind. I just kind of found it and I was like, oh, okay. But I figured I'd share it on the podcast here. So there's a new Pokemon, and we've talked about it before on the podcast. It's called Magnaria. I'm really not 100% on how to pronounce it, so if you guys know how to pronounce it, please let me know at TalesFTGameGrid. So anyways, this Pokemon, which kind of looks like a cross between a robot bunny and BB-8 from Star Wars The Force Awakens, is a new legendary Pokemon that will be in Sun and Moon. as far as we know. It's also going to be part of the new movie that's coming out in Japan this summer, which is going to star another Pokemon, which I'm excited to see. And it's the first water fire type, which is kind of interesting. But she's going to be in the movie as well. And so we get to actually see, we actually found out what her typing is. And surprise, surprise, she's a fairy psychic, she's a fairy steel type. So not a big surprise there, really, because I looked at her and went, oh, she's definitely has to be steel fairy. So you've seen this Pokemon, have you not, Danny?
Actually, I have not.
Oh, okay.
Surprisingly enough.
It's a newer Pokemon. They just announced it recently. It's going to be in the new movie. It looks, like I said, it looks like a cross between a bunny, robot bunny, and BB-8.
And what's the name of it again?
And Magneria? I don't know. It's a weird name.
Meganium?
Meganium. There we go. Here we go. Got it. All right, fix it on the podcast.
Yes. Well, thank God for Bulbapedia.
There you go. It's a fairy psychic type, so that'll be interesting. Like I said, steel types are... I actually kind of like steel types, even though they have a weakness to fire. Steel types are really good. I like a lot of the steel typing, and actually, Klefki, even though a lot of people don't like it because of his design, is actually a pretty good Pokemon. It's a steel fairy as well. Can't wait for that. All right. So I think that's pretty much it. So let's go into our fun facts for our episode. Today's episode is called Wherefore Art Thou Pokemon. It is actually episode, this is episode 18 of our podcast, but this is actually episode 20 of the story arc. And we'll get into that in a second. But this is actually the 100th episode of the Pokemon anime, and it aired in the U.S. on April 22nd, 2000. So we're a little bit ahead of the air date, but, you know, pretty much a year ago, this premiered on TV. Several years ago. 16 years ago, to be exact. Wow. Time flies.
I know.
So
it doesn't feel like it was that long ago.
No. No, it doesn't. So let's talk a little bit about what I was talking about earlier, about this being the 20th episode of the arc, but even though this is the 18th episode of our podcast, what happened was one of the episodes is actually skipped. Now, this episode, which is called The Mandarin Island Mismatch, actually did air in America. It was technically not banned originally. But the episode has now been banned, I guess quietly. I guess they didn't like flat out say this has been banned. It's been kind of quietly banned, and there was two reasons for the banning. First of all, I'm not going to go too into this because I like to keep this an all-ages podcast. But I will say that the character that they meet in that episode is Lorelei from the Elite Four. So if you remember the original Pokemon games, the Elite Four, you actually fight against Lorelei. And she is an ice Pokemon trainer. She has Dewgong and a Jinx. I forget what else she has. It wasn't too many ice. Oh, Cloyster. She had a Cloyster. There wasn't too many technically ice types at the time because kind of water was like also ice at the same time. It was weird. It was the first season. It was the first game. So, you know. So Ash meets Lorelei on this island, and the reason why it's not included in the DVD set on Netflix or even on Pokemon.com is for two separate reasons. A minor reason is because, let's just say, Lorelei is very, very anime, traditional anime girl character. I'll leave it to your imagination, because again, I'd like to keep this a family podcast. So she's very anime. But the other reason...
Yeah, that's definitely one way of putting it.
Are you looking up the info right now?
Yes, and I knew she looked kind of familiar.
Uh-huh.
I knew she looked kind of familiar, because I felt like I had seen her before, but I couldn't quite place it.
Right. So, yes, she is very anime. Traditional female anime character. But the other reason is because her Pokemon in that episode is Jinx. Now, I know a lot of you out there are like, Jinx? Well, what's wrong with Jinx? Well, for those of you who don't know, Jinx has a very dubious distinction of having, is looking very racist as a character. I won't go into it too much, but that's the big reason why this episode was cut. So instead of doing what they did in Dragon Ball Z, where they turned Mr. Popo blue, they just banned the episode entirely. So you cannot find it anywhere. Now, one of these days, I might actually want to do like a series of episodes that were cut. But as of right now, because they're a little bit harder for other people to find, that's why I'm skipping all the banned episodes, is because unless you really look deep, it's going to be very hard to find some of these episodes. So that's why I've decided to not to worry about this episode, just kind of skip it and move on to our next one. So, that's why this episode is Where Far Art Thou Pokemon, just so you're aware. Okay. Anything else you want to add there, Mr. Danny?
I can definitely see why they would ban such an episode. Although it's funny because back then there was more controversy over a certain episode that was banned from season one than there was than this one. But
this one was kind of like quietly swept under the rug, in my opinion.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
it's funny, because normally when it comes to banned episodes, they tend to be pretty hard-nosed about things like that. But, hey, you know, I mean, stay lucky.
Yeah, so like I said, we're going to skip that episode, and maybe eventually we'll come back to it. Maybe I'll do like a whole set of cut episodes. But for now, that's pretty much the biggest part of why we skipped it. Now, just a few fun facts about Wherefore Art Thou Pokemon. This episode is very loosely based off of a very famous play that you may have heard of by a very famous writer that you may have heard of called William Shakespeare. And he wrote a play called Romeo and Juliet that is extremely popular, and everyone and their mom should probably know at least the very basic premise of Romeo and Juliet. So I don't think I'm going to go really over the premise of Romeo and Juliet.
No, me too.
But there's been many kind of plays very much like it. There's been movies. There's been, there was one with, I think Leonardo DiCaprio was in one of them. I don't know.
Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes.
Yep.
That's right.
Wasn't that the one where they modernized it a little bit?
Yeah. They tried to modernize it, but I don't know. I mean, it's a pretty interesting take on the thing. I need to go back and watch it again just to really get a feel for it, because again, I had seen it in high school, but I really didn't pay too much attention to it.
Right. So,
I definitely need to check that out again just to see how good of an adaptation it was.
Right.
Or not, so.
But so this is very loosely based off of that. Very loosely. So that's where the title of the episode comes from. And also they do make some references to other Shakespeare's, works in the episode as well. Specifically at the end of the episode, the announcer, does make mention to another Shakespeare, play. So it's very, very kind of, it's just kind of throwing out there. However, there's also a reference to another very famous play, more of a musical actually, that is in this episode as well, that's very similar to Romeo and Juliet, The two main Pokemon that we're going to be talking about in this episode today are two Nidorans, a girl Nidoran and a boy Nidoran. And these two Nidoran are called Tony and Maria. And this is a reference to the musical West Side Story, which is also based off of Romeo and Juliet. So there you go. Right. So you know,
the only thing Maria, forward. I always think of that Santana song with that Wyclef Jean had done. You know, Maria, Maria. Again, don't worry, it's family friendly, so you don't have to worry about the song being supposed to, because it's not. But whenever I hear the name Maria, I think of that song.
I hear the name Maria, I don't know what I think of, actually. I'm kind of jumbled. But anyways, that's pretty much the biggest part of this episode. Now, we've already talked about a little bit, so I'm not going to go into Nidoran. However, I will open the Pokedex real quick and just go ahead and scan for Nidoran boy and Nidoran girl. So here we go. Open the Pokedex.
Nidoran, male. Its horn is larger than the female's, and its horn attack is quite powerful. Nidoran, female. Its poison pin is quite powerful for its size, but its horn is smaller than the male's.
So that's Nidoran girl and Nidoran boy. Now, one thing I did want to touch on real quick is the fact that in the first gen, this was the first group of Pokemon, both these Nidoran, that were female and male, and they were different. They look different depending on their gender. Now, this was a thing that actually only were for the Nidorans. They didn't really do it for any other Pokemon until Black and White. Now, Black and White introduced more differences between male and female characters, even though Silver and Gold introduced, you know, male and female Pokemon. Show differences until Black and White. For example, a male Pikachu has the traditional, you know, lightning tail, whereas the female Pikachu has more of a little heart shape at the end of her tail. Okay? And there's other differences too, like a regular Wobbuffet, a male Wobbuffet looks just like Jesse's Wobbuffet, so, you know, Jesse's Wobbuffet is a male. The female Wobbuffet looks like it has lipstick on.
Interesting.
So there are some differences that they've added into the game over the years, but this is kind of that first idea of having a male and female Pokemon and having them different. Now, this is actually in nature as well. There are some Pokemon, there are some animals out there that look different depending on the type of animal they are, but also their gender. Like, for example, the one that popped in my head real quick was peacocks. Male peacocks are the ones with the big, beautiful feathers and the bright colors. And females are, well, brown.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the best way to describe them. I actually remember when I was a kid, there actually was a guy who had peacocks. And, oh my gosh, they were loud. They were very loud. Very, very loud. Those were loud birds. But yeah, that's the difference between the two. You know, and this, you see this in nature a lot. Sometimes male and female, you can't really tell. I mean, with, like, for instance, like dogs a lot of times, unless you know where to look, you can't really tell right off the bat what a male and female dog are. Okay? So, but for the most part, there are subtle differences between male and females, even in nature. And so this is kind of that first idea of that. And now it's implemented in the Pokemon universe through all Pokemon now. Okay. Now, not every Pokemon has subtle differences. Just like in nature, there are some Pokemon that look exactly the same. There are no male Kangaskhans. All Kangaskhans are female. You know, there are no male Chanseys. All Chanseys are female. So how did they breed? I don't know.
Yeah.
But
some things are just best left, you know, some things are best left unsaid. You know, just, I mean, why not?
But anyways, that's just a little bit thing I wanted to put on. So did you know about this whole differences between male and females?
I really didn't really take much notice of it. Of course, granted, I knew that both Nidoran and Nidorino, both the boy and girl Nidoran were the only real distinct Pokemon that had an actual gender. But it really wasn't until Gold and Silver that they actually started giving the Pokemon specific genders. Of course, boy and girl Nidoran were the only ones who stayed, you know, pretty much the same.
Right.
And everybody else was pretty much assigned a gender, with the exception of Ditto.
And some legendary,
which actually came in handy, especially if you wanted to get a certain baby Pokemon and you really couldn't, and you had trouble finding two Pokemon of different genders,
right?
Or excuse me, two similar Pokemon of opposite genders,
right?
So, and anybody who's played Gold and Silver, you'll know what I'm talking about,
right?
Like the fact that in later games, which again I didn't even know this until you mentioned it, I love the fact that they actually are giving both male and female Pokemon little distinct little details, like with Pikachu, for instance, which you just mentioned. And I admit, I didn't even really take much notice of it, but again, I've been out of the Pokemon game for quite a while, and like I said, you know, I peaked at Silver.
Yeah.
But again, I'm back in the game now, so literally and figuratively, so, you know, I'm definitely making up for lost time. So I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye out for that when I definitely go looking for Pokemon
and definitely seeing
what differences they have.
Some of them
and not
are,
just on paper.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, some of them are very, very subtle. Like, for instance, Sneasel. The difference between a male and female Sneasel. Sneasel have this little thing on top of their head. It's like it almost looks like a feather. A girl Sneasel has a shorter one. A male Sneasel has a longer one. So it's some of them are very, very subtle, and you probably couldn't tell unless you really looked. Some of them are different, like, you know, Pikachus. Some of them are, you know, there are no differences. They just look the same. You know, Bulbasaur all look the same. You know, Charmanders all look the same. You know, Squirtles all look the same. You know, but it's something that I think added a little bit of variety to the Pokemon, is by adding just subtle differences between genders. So I kind of enjoyed that. So anyways,
yeah, I like that too.
Yeah. So anyways, let's get into this episode now. What do you think? We're almost at 25 minutes here. Let's get into this episode. I'm sure these people are waiting.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go for it, man.
All right. So, to remind you, this episode is called
Wherefore Art Thou Pokemon?
All right. So this is the first episode in a long time we've actually had a Pokemon in the title. It seemed like when the series first started, all they did was just add Pokemon to whatever title they were going to add. It was always, you know, I Choose You Pokemon, or Pokemon Emergency, or, you know, Pokemon this and Pokemon that. And then after a while, they kind of got away from it. But I think, especially now with these episodes, you know, in the second season, they kind of got away from that. But I think this is the first one that we've had in a while that has Pokemon in the title. So, you know. So anyways, we start off our episode in a quaint little village. I know this is different from most of the other times that we've started our episodes, but it's a quaint little village, and Ash and friends are actually walking through this little village, and it looks very European, and in fact they even make mention to the fact that it looks like this looks like something out of a storybook, or looks something from Merry Old England, which, can I pause for 2 seconds? Again, they reference real world things. This is like the third or fourth time that they mentioned a real world thing. You know, first it's with the Vikings being in Minnesota, and now they talk about Merry Old England. So, you know, just wanted to stop there for a second and just say. So now we're looking around the quaint little village, and Ash kind of wonders if they had Pokemon centers back in olden times, which I'm sure they probably did. You know, this is Pokemon, so I'm sure in olden times they had Pokemon centers.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, but so anyways, he's wondering about this, and then all of a sudden he hears a girl screaming out, "Maria, where are you?" And they look over, and this little girl, she's has blonde hair. She's kind of wearing a red kind of dress with like a pink shirt under. She has pigtails, blue eyes, and she's calling out for her Maria. Now, of course, you know, Ash and company meet up with this little girl, and so you know the little girl is kind of asking for some help, and they're like, "Well, what can we do?" And she says, "Have you seen my little Maria?" And of course, they don't know who Maria is. So they ask, "Well, so who is Maria?" And so she says, "Oh, I'm sorry, you're new here. So Maria's my Pokemon. She's a Nidoran." And Ash goes, "Oh, Nidoran, huh? Okay, let me look him up in the Pokedex." So she kind of, as Ash pulls out his Pokedex, she's kind of describing what Nidoran looks like. And I kind of like this animation, even though I'm sure if you're a fan of Pokemon, you already know what a Nidoran looks like, both male and female. Do we really need to describe what she looks like?
I think it's just a way of probably, you know, I guess you could say cartoon logic, where basically to the casual fan or maybe just a beginner,
right?
We probably don't know who these characters are. You know, I guess it's just a way to kind of introduce them to who and what these characters look like and everything else. Although, granted, given that the girl does give a very pretty apt description of a girl Nidoran, it really wouldn't be that hard to figure out. But given that this is a Pokemon that actually has an actual nickname, you know, I mean, clearly there's going to be something distinct about this specific Pokemon, besides just looking like a girl Nidoran.
That's true. That's a true statement.
At least that's the idea that they're trying to put across.
Right. I do like the animation, though, because it looks like a lump of clay that's, as she's describing it, is kind of like molded into the Nidoran. I kind of like that. I love the animation. The animation is really, really awesome. I don't know who did it, but that animation looks great. You can tell they took some time on that. And it really looks good. And so, of course, Ash pulls out his Pokedex and looks up Nidoran. Now, when Nidoran comes up, it's pink, has big ears and a big horn. And, of course, the Pokedex says Nidoran male. Now, this girl then, of course, says, "Listen, that's a boy Nidoran. I'm looking for a girl Nidoran." And Ash is like, "Oh, there's a girl Nidoran?" And so she's like, yeah. So he looks it up in the Pokedex. Which, to tell you the truth, he looks it up pretty fast, specifically because the old Pokedex took forever to find Pokemon. So, I just want to throw that out there.
It would have been interesting if they actually had shown a screen, you know, with the word "loading" on it, and then all of a sudden, for a second or two, and then have it cut to a picture of
the girl
of the girl Nidoran.
So
that would have been like, okay. It's like, oh, great, even Ash has to deal with loading issues like we do.
Right. And so we get a little description. You've already heard at the top of the podcast what the description is. So we get a little description about the girl Nidoran. And so all three of our heroes decide to help out this girl find her Nidoran. So they're going throughout the village, and they're looking for this Nidoran. And Ash is calling out, "Here, Nidoran, where are you, Nidoran? Hello, Nidoran, are you there?" And Misty turns to him and goes, "Hey, Sherlock, this would probably be better if you called out her actual name." And for 2 seconds, I'm like, Sherlock, what does that have to do with... What does that have to do with anything?
Well, given that Ash and Misty always have this banter where, you know, Ash is trying to one up her and go, "Hey, I know what I'm doing."
Right.
You know, Misty apparently just, you know, I that was more like just a means of being, I think that was just Misty's way of saying, "Hey, Mr. Know-it-all, here's a little suggestion for you."
Right.
Though I do think Misty didn't have to be so harsh, but
I don't understand.
That's beside the point.
But my thing is not the quip that she made. My thing is the reason they should call him Sherlock. That really makes no sense. Because they're not really, like, looking for clues or trying to solve a mystery, necessarily. They're just kind of looking for this Nidoran, so I don't understand how that kind of falls into place with this episode.
I think in the context, it's really just, like I said, probably just Ash trying to be, you know, even though granted, he obviously wasn't trying to be a know-it-all, but he was just trying to, like, figure out, okay, how do I get this Pokemon's attention again? You know, even though he pretty much heard it straight from the girl, you know, what the Pokemon's name was, but, you know, again, it's Ash, you know, I mean, he's not at the point where, he's still at a point where it takes a while for him to figure things out, or rather, he's very slow on the uptake.
So then, of course, Ash starts calling out Maria's name, and then we get a couple shots of everyone trying to look for Maria. Pikachu's looking around. Tracy's looking around. I love that Misty goes, "Yo, Maria," which I'm sure is probably another reference to West Side Story. I don't know West Side Story all that well. I know the general idea of the story, but I don't know any kind of reference. So I'm guessing that's a reference to the story as well. So she shouts out, "Yo, Maria," and then we get Tracy, and then we get the little girl, and they're all looking. And then all of a sudden, Pikachu spots something. He spots some fruit. Now, this is probably my favorite part in this whole episode. So anyways, Pikachu's looking up at the fruit and going, "Oh my gosh, that fruit looks amazing. I want to eat it." And then he's kind of like, "But I kind of have to help find this Pokemon." So then he's like, "Maria! Maria!" And as he's doing this, he's slowly getting closer and closer to the tree.
I don't see her over here. Because I really do like that thing, because it's kind of Pikachu's thing, being like, "Okay, you know what? I don't really want to take a break, but that fruit looks just too tempting. And you know what? I'm just gonna look over here on this side of the park, and I'll just snag a few pieces of fruit while I'm at it.
You know, there's you know, a I mean, yeah, she might be up the tree. She might be up that tree. You know, who knows?"
Exactly. you gotta be very thorough when it comes to looking for Pokemon.
I love this little character moment for Pikachu. There's not very many character moments for Pikachu. Like there's not very many character moments for Ash, but this little moment for Pikachu makes me so very happy, because it shows Pikachu being a realistic character. He really hungry and he wants that fruit. So what do? Yeah. You just kind of pretend that you're still helping, but you're going to go eat that fruit.
I really do like that. I mean, because we're always told that Pokemon have their own, you know, feelings and personality. And believe you me, this little scene really showed that Pikachu's got his own little personality.
It is my favorite scene in this whole episode. I died laughing because, and not only that, but also the animation on Pikachu is done so well, because you can see him he's still calling out for Maria. He's looking out. He's still looking around, but he's going to get closer and closer to that tree. All right. So moving on, Ash is calling out for Maria, and then all of a sudden you hear somebody else calling out, but it's a different name. Now, this is a little boy, and he's calling out for another boy. And so Ash and Misty come up to this kid, and the kid comes up. Kid asks them if he's seen his Tony around. Now, then Ash is like, "Well, what kind of Pokemon is this thing?" And he goes, "Oh, it's a Nidoran." And as he's talking to this kid, as Ash and Misty are talking to this kid, Pikachu has lost all interest in fighting Marie.
He's not even
pretending anymore. He's just sitting there eating.
Yeah, he's just like, oh man, looking for Maria really worked up an appetite. I think I'll take a break for a few minutes.
But anyways, so you know, that's a Nidoran. And then, of course, Ash again pulls out his Pokedex as the boy is kind of describing the Nidoran. And again, just like with our first picture, we get a really wonderful animated of a lump of pink clay turning into a Nidoran. And we get to see what a Nidoran looks like. And then, of course, Ash again pulls out his Pokedex and looks up Nidoran. And this time, though, he pulls out the female one. And then, of course, the boy is like, hey, no, it's a boy. And so then, of course, he looks up the boy. And we get a very slight description of Nidoran boy. Okay? So anyways, yep. Then of course, as they're talking to this boy, Tracy and the girl come up and try to see if they had found Maria. And of course, Ash and Misty are like, no, we haven't yet found him, yet. And then of course, the boy and the girl see each other and right away they go at it. The boy calls the girl a kidnapper, the girl calls the boy a kidnapper, and they just both argue back and forth, you know, about being jealous of each other's Pokemon, and, you know, how dinky their Pokemon is compared to yours, and it's just huge argument between both these kids, and then it all culminates into them grabbing sticks and start trying to beat each other. I wonder what that's all about.
Yeah, I mean, looking at that scene, it's like, okay, seriously, you two are fighting. Why again? I mean, and furthermore, you don't even know if the other kid supposedly kidnapped your Pokemon or not. So what? But then again, you know,
these are two rivals. You know, we've already set this up. They're both rivals in this town.
Yep.
They're both very well known in this town. We've already set that up too, because they established the fact that you know, they didn't. At first, they asked them where Tony or Maria was, and, you know, they just assumed that they already knew because they know everyone in the town. However, because our heroes are new to the town, they don't know anything about these Pokemon. So, you know, it already shows that everyone in the town already knows these two, this boy and this girl. They're already very popular, I'm guessing. So, you know, it already kind of sets this up, and the fact that they're rivals and... so we already kind of get that already. Now, as these two are tuckered out from fighting each other, I don't know how long they fought with each other, but apparently it's tiring. However long they did it, it's tiring. Meryl comes up, the Tracy's Meryl comes up and tells them that he's heard something and to follow him. So Tracy and everyone go ahead and follow. So Tracy and them decide to go, but before Tracy and all of them can start, the boy and the girl jump up and run right over Tracy.
Pretty much. I mean, they pretty much flatten them out like a pancake.
Here's the thing, though. Meryl was the one who knows where these Pokemon are. Where are they running to?
Yeah, I mean, but then again, you know, it's kids that are even younger than Ash, or they look younger than Ash.
All right, they look a little bit younger.
And Misty,
I would say probably like, about a year or two. I'd say probably about a year or two by the look. So.
Yeah, I think it's kind of one of those, you know, okay, they're gonna leap before they even look, so.
So anyways, Tracy gets run over, and of course, we see the two running into this flower garden, and they finally find the Nidoran. And their Nidoran are, shall we say, very, very close to each other. They're kind of nuzzling each other. You can see that they are definitely, I'm not going to beat around the bush because they're hiding behind a bush. they are very much in love with each other. And Tracy sees it, and right off the bat, he wants to make sketches. you know, whatever. So the Nidoran boy... And I guess they're talking sweet to each other, and the Nidoran boy goes behind one of the bushes that they're in front of and grabs a rose and gives it to the girl, which at first you think that he's just giving it as a present, but they start eating the rose.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, he's not presenting that to her. This is the flower for her to have. They're going to eat that thing.
So they start eating the rose, and... Aw, look at that. He shares the little rose the last rose petal with her. Aw, isn't that cute? And then they kind of like go back and forth. No, you have the last piece. No, you have the last piece. Oi, one of you eat it, please.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just or better yet, just split it down the middle and just and chow down. I mean, you guys are already almost done eating that rose anyway, so you might as well just.
They're in the goo-goo phase of love right now, where everything is wonderful.
Yep. Everything is awesome.
No, you hang up. Oh, good gravy. So, anyways, so the boy and the girl are kind of awing about this, about their two Nidoran in love, but then they kind of notice each other at awing about it, and they're like, no. So they grab their Nidoran and kind of separate the two as they walk by, and then you see the two Nidoran kind of trying to reach for each other, and, so it's just a heartening sight that these are star-crossed lovers, that their owners don't get along. So then we get into this sandwich shop, and I know it's a sandwich shop because it actually says sandwich.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you think this is like the Pokemon World version of Subway?
Probably, or at least close to it.
So anyways, so they're in this restaurant. They're probably just finishing up a meal, and so they're talking to the cook, I guess, because he has a cook chef's hat on. And he talks about the two, the boy and the girl, which we find out, finally, that their names are Ralph and Emily. And so he tells the group about how Ralph and Emily have been kind of rivals for, like, ever, since they were, like, babies, which is weird. But apparently, for some strange reason, these two kids keep catching the exact same Pokemon over and over and over again.
And over again.
And,
yep.
You know, as they're doing so, they're like, well, my Pokemon's better than yours. My Caterpie's better than yours. Oh, no, you know, my Raticate's better than yours. My Oddish is better than yours. And this even culminates because they have Pokemon contests here, which technically they don't really introduce a official Pokemon contest until Ruby and Sapphire, but we're not going to go into that right now. but anyways, so we find out that they had a Pokemon contest here, and they actually tied for first place, and that's where their Nidoran met and kind of fell in love. Love at first sight. Oh, wonderful.
Yep.
But even though their Nidoran are totally enthralled with each other, their owners hate each other. They hate each other's guts. So this is, again, very much in the same vein as Romeo and Juliet, although these are more about Pokemon. So as they're walking back, probably to the Pokemon Center, the group kind of just talks about how this is a real shame that these two Nidoran are in love, but they can't be together because their owners are buttheads. That's the best way I can describe it. They're buttheads.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's best and most family appropriate way I can explain. I can.
Yeah, I mean, they're both too stubborn.
Buttheads.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're buttheads.
Yeah, it's true. There's really no other way to put it, but that basically.
So, anyways, as they're walking, you see the boy Nidoran, Tony. And he runs past them, and so they decide to follow him to see where Tony is going off to. You know, just in case he gets lost again, they can find him. And so Tony runs right to where Emily's house is, and, of course, Maria is on the balcony, and they're talking to each other, which, again, is very, very reminiscent of Romeo and Juliet.
Yep.
So, you know, talking on the balcony. And so they're talking to each other. What they're saying, we don't know. Because they're Nidoran. We don't know what they're saying. We don't have Meowth with us. But, you know, according to Misty's female intuition, they are talking sweet talk to each other. Which, actually, I'm not going to discredit Misty's female intuition.
No. No. Surprisingly enough, I wouldn't either.
Of course.
But mainly that's because of season one, which again, involving Ash's Butterfree. You know, when we get to that episode, we'll talk about that more. But But yeah, when it comes to Matters of the Heart, I wouldn't question Misty all that much. Not too much.
Yeah. Well, anyways, so then Ash is like, well, how do you know they're talking sweet talk? And then Misty goes, well, I'm just because I'm a romantic. And you can see Ash's expression, like, okay. She understands the matters of the heart, and Ash's expression is priceless. And, of course, Ash is like, well, how come? How come you know all this? And, you know, she says, oh, it's because you're not mature. And, of course, Ash is like, well, of course I'm mature. I'm so mature. I am so mature. I'm so mature. And Misty goes, well, you'll understand one day when you grow up. And of course, Ash is like, oh, I'm already grown up. Pikachu's just like, it's okay, buddy. It's all right. It's fine. It's good. Just get over it, bro.
Yep. And she's reaction is just hilarious. And Pikachu's like, Ash, come on, man. Get out of it.
It's all right, bro. Snap out of it, dude. Don't worry about it. It'll come, just went to X and Y. So anyways, we go back to Tony and Maria, and they're talking to each other, and, you know, probably talking sweet talk to each other. And then all of a sudden, Tony looks up, and Emily comes out with a bucket of water and says, this ought to cool you off, Romeo. Again, making reference to Romeo and Juliet. And sprays a bunch of water onto Tony, who is now all wet and very sad. And of course, that's when Ralph comes along and sees what Emily had done to his poor Nidoran. And of course, this even fuels the fire even more between the two of them. And so then Ralph grabs Tony and they walks over to his house. Now, here's the best part of this whole thing, that these two are neighbors. They live right next to each other.
Yep.
So here's my question. Why did Tony have to run over to the house?
That's a question. I didn't even think of that. I mean, it would make more sense if basically he lived, say, like several streets, several blocks away. Then okay, then I can see why Tony would do that. But if they live basically that close to each other, literally next door, why would Tony have to, dash? Why would Ash and his friend see Tony dashing halfway across the street?
I don't.
As though he lived all the way on the other side of town.
I don't know. Maybe he was trying to get an engagement ring. Do Pokemon do that?
I guess so. Or maybe just the Pokemon equivalent of an engagement ring.
I don't know. Anyways, so then, of course, our heroes see this and they're kind of like in awe about the fact that they're next door neighbors.
Yep.
And that's when Misty's like, all right, I'm going to do something about this. And Ash makes up a very good point. I want to add this. He makes a very good point. But that's none of your business. Misty's like, oh no, I'm making it my business.
Yep.
And the most important thing in the whole world. Missy's like, because the most important thing in the whole world, and then Ash breaks in with, is catching Pokemon? She goes, no, it's love, stupid!
Yep. She says, you are such a big baby! And then here we go again with Ash just kind of like,
I'm not a big baby, am I, Pikachu? Pika's like, shake it off, bro. Shake it off. It's okay. It's all right.
Just keep going. I think it's just like, look, Ash, how about if we just focus on just helping out, okay? Even though, I mean, again, who knows what Pikachu is thinking, but I'm pretty sure Pikachu is thinking, like, come on, Ash, come on, just snap out of it, man.
It's all right, man. It's all right, bro. Just walk it off, bro. Rock it off. Walk it off. That was my father's rule for anything. So if you broke your arm, just walk it off.
Yep.
So there you go. Walk it off. That's what Pikachu was saying. Walk it off, Ash. Walk it off.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, as Misty is bent on fixing this, and they all walk away, then, of course, who is hiding in the bushes behind them? Behind the bushes that I guess they were hiding behind. but, of course, Team Rocket.
Team Rocket.
And they're all kind of heard this whole situation. And they're excited because there's a set of a boy and a girl, Nidoran, and they want to give this set, very neatly wrapped, I might add, to the boss for kind of like a present to the boss.
Yep.
And, yep. Both Meowth and James kind of make this whole plan about giving this prize to the boss. And as they're talking about this, Jesse just sighs about all the weird comments they made and just says, well, I just, if this is a prize, then I got the booby prize. I'm like, ha,
yep.
Ha, 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 ha. So also one of the fun facts that I found out from Bulbapedia was for our next scene, we are treated to our Pokemon Center. Now, in the Bulbapedia thing, the fun facts part, it said that the Pokemon Center sign outside of the center looks very much like the it's very much like the Nintendo logo. Now, I'm looking at it right now. It kind of looks like the Nintendo logo. Not
yep.
really,
yep,
because the Nintendo logo is an oval shape. This is more of a kind of a fancy rectangle, more.
Yeah.
But I guess it's kind of like that, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and maybe because the village or the town that Ash and his friends are in has that sort of like quaint medieval kind of vibe to it.
Right.
I guess that sign is designed that way, just to kind of. To have it be in keeping with the look of the town, I think. I mean, I would imagine that'd be the case.
Well,
but I can also see it as like what do they call it? I guess like a
nod,
like a tongue in. Well, kind of like in comic books, like when artists kind of like literally draw themselves into a panel,
or they draw something like that they like in the background.
I think more like they draw a picture of themselves.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
In the panel.
Right.
As sort of like an artist's wink or kind of like a tongue-in-cheek type vibe. And
right.
I don't know if the animators on the show decided to do that as a little nod to
Nintendo.
Nintendo's logo.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. It's possible. I mean, I know a lot of artists, even me myself, I tend to like to do that too, where I put little nods to things that I like into comics. I'll give you an example. In one of my comics, I won't tell you which one, so you can go look at my Tales from the Game Grid. In one of my comics, I actually make a nod to Mystery Science Theater. One of the newer comics that I did recently, there's a clock in one of the comics, and on the clock it says Gizmonics Institute. I purposely put that on there. As kind of a nod to Mystery Science Theater and kind of like a little Easter egg, you know, for fans. I mean, Marvel movies
sure.
nowadays do that, where they put little nods to other Marvel things inside. You know, like, for instance, in Iron Man 2, when they put Captain America's shield in there, it's kind of a little nod to, you know, even Disney movies have been doing that as of late, where they put little nods to things like, for instance, in Big Hero 6, when they go to the police center, there's a wanted poster for Flynn Rider, on the bulletin board there. You know,
yeah.
It's stuff like that. So just like little nods to you know, things that people like. I know one of our pod friends from The Reasons I'm Broke, they have a friend who is a professional comic book artist, who's actually a fan of their podcast. And in one of his issues, he actually put the logo for their podcast in their comic. So it's just like a little nod to things that you like. I like to do it myself, where I put like little nods to other things. In the comic, so that, you know, it's just like little Easter eggs. For
yep.
people to find. So, all right. So we go into the Pokemon Center, and I just want to note something that Misty is writing a letter, and she is actually humming the tune that you're listening to. So the background music, she's humming that exact
yep.
tune. So if you listen to her humming, she's actually humming that exact tune. background noise, the background music for that. So Ash comes up to Misty and is like, what are you doing? And Misty's like, I'm writing identical love letters to both Ralph and Emily. And her plan is that these letters are going to kind of to kind of get these two together, so that way the Nidoran can be together. Now Ash is like, do you think this will work? And of course Misty grabs him and says, of course this is gonna work. And then she kind of goes through her plan while angrily grabbing Ash.
Yeah, very angrily.
Yeah, you know, the love letters will reach each other. They'll fall in love with each other and kind of see that they're actually not enemies. And Ash says, well, can't you be arrested for mail fraud? And that moment, I just slapped my face. I'm like, oh gosh, Pokemon. Why? I get the joke, but really...
I mean, what else could Ash say at that point?
And then, of course, you know, Misty then makes the quip again that, you know, of course, Ash is not mature enough to understand this plan. And, of course, Tracy comes up and puts his two cents in about it. He says, you know what? This kind of situation is very similar to you and Ash. And then they both give Tracy this, like, stare of daggers.
Yep.
And they both at the same time yell each other, you must be crazy.
Oh my gosh. And you know, I mean, this is good. This is the first time that we actually have that kind of implication. You know, because after all, in the episode where Brock leaves and stays with Professor Ivy, you know, where Team Rocket kind of makes that same when they kind of insinuate that Ash and Misty both have blushes on their faces. You can clearly tell in that scene. And it's just like, yeah, Ash, Misty, you two could say this. You could say it. You could deny it all you want. You can even say that we're all lunatics. But, you're not really fooling anybody. Even if you yourself don't even realize it.
Hey, I don't know, man. I hate to disappoint all the Misty and Ash shippers out there. But... But I really have to say, there hasn't been a female character yet that Ash has reciprocated feelings for. You know, we've had characters before where they kind of fell in love with Ash. And, you know, Ash and Misty have been a thing for a long time. People have been wanting to group them together for a very long time. However... And, you know, I'm not opposed to the fact that Ash and Misty, you know, could be together as, you know, a couple. But, however, in the new series, X and Y, I think we're seeing signs of Ash actually reciprocating his feelings of love to Serena. So, because, you know, when we, as of other characters who have just, like... They just hint at the fact that they might like Ash. They, for X and Y, they flat out tell you that this girl is in love with Ash. There is no secret between this. But I think, and I've seen, I haven't seen many of the newer episodes, but I think that also Ash is kind of showing signs of the fact that he may actually like this girl. Which is another reason why a lot of people think this may be Ash's last season as the main protagonist. Whether that's true or not, I doubt it. But this is where just one thing I just wanted to tie on real quick is that this is the first time I've actually kind of seen kind of that kind of thing between you know Ash and a girl. So
yeah,
you know, other people have seen, you know, there are people out there who ship. You know, and for those of you, again, who don't know what the word shipping means, it means relationship. The people who put relationship, who are fans of a relationship. So there are people who ship together Misty and Ash. There are people who ship together Ash and May. There are people who ship together Iris and Ash. And there are people who who are really vocal about Ash and Dawn. Do I have a problem with all these? No, I mean, you become a fan of some of these things, but am I 100% on board with any of them? No, not really. It's just whoever the writers decide, that's, you know, who they go with. And whether Ash will ever be in a relationship or not, romantically, we don't know because he's still 10 years old.
Yeah.
I'm not really worried about that as of right now.
Yeah. I mean, somehow I don't think they're going to make that the focal point
of the
series. I mean, maybe a little implication here and there, which I think probably is the best way to go.
Right. Well, that's kind of what they're doing with X and Y now. So they're very much implicating that Ash may actually have feelings for Serena. So, you know, whether that's actually true or not, we shall see. But when we get into X and Y, we'll definitely talk about that a little bit more in depth.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to Team Rocket, shall we? Because, you know, that's how the episode goes. So we're going back to Team Rocket. And so now we learn about Team Rocket's plan to get these Nidoran together. And Jesse, just like Misty, has a plan so that way these Pokemon will come with them willingly. They don't have to necessarily steal these Pokemon. Jesse has a plan to actually get these Pokemon to go on board with them. And so what is this plan exactly? Well, they're going to get Meowth to actually talk to these Nidoran and kind of convince them to come with Team Rocket. Now, just like Ash, James and Meowth are kind of wondering how Jesse knows how to fix all this, how Jesse knows that these Nidoran are actually going to come with them. And Jesse then talks about the fact that she has had her share of heartaches, that she has been through lots and lots of things, and apparently her whole past life is filled with colored pencil colors.
Yeah. It's like rejection on top of rejection and all this and whatnot.
Apparently, she keeps getting... We actually learned about a love affair that she has with somebody later on in the series. But let's not deal with that yet. But we talk about the fact that she is being dumped by all these men because she is nasty and evil.
Yeah.
Well, of course you're going to be dumped.
Yeah. I can't imagine why anybody would want to turn her down flat, but I guess there must be a reason.
And then, of course, Meowth says my favorite line, of course, which is, no wonder you're such a nut job. And, of course, Jesse gets angry and kicks both of them, even though James had nothing to do with what Meowth said. Very angrily, Jesse tells Meowth to get to it. And so we get a scene of the bedroom here, and we see, of course, Maria's laying down in her little basket, and she hears Meowth kind of scratching on the window. And she goes up to Meowth, and Meowth kind of says, "Hey, would you like to be with your boyfriend? Because I can make that come true for you." And then it cuts to another scene of Tony, who is already kind of scratching at the window, kind of trying to get out of Ralph's bedroom. And, of course, Meowth jumps in and goes, "Hey, I know a way for you to be with your princess." And, you know, we don't actually see their answer. But, you know, Meowth is trying to sweet-talk them. You know, he's trying to be the great Pokken negotiator that he is. Jesse tells James that they're going to tell him that they're going on a honeymoon, but instead of going on a honeymoon, they're going to just take them to the boss. And so that's the whole plan. And, you know, James is like, "Well, isn't that a little dirty?" And Jesse's like, "No, this is not dirty. If we're going to get this Pokemon, of course we have to play a little dirty." So Meowth comes in and he's a little bit bummed. And, of course, everyone's like, you know, the both of them are like, oh, what's going on, Meowth? What happened? And Meowth's like, yeah, they're not budging. Neither of them want to leave their owners at all. Even though they love each other very much, they also love their owners too, and they don't want to just leave them. Now, this enrages Jesse to no end. And so now, because they can't get them to willingly go with them, of course, what is their next plan? The plan that they're not so good at, but they're going to do it anyways.
Yep. Nidoran plan number two.
Yep, they're going to actually go ahead and kidnap the Nidoran.
Yeah. And cut to James basically saying, I was afraid of that.
Right. So now we go back to, we're now in the morning, and the gang is hiding behind a tree, like, how are they hiding behind the tree? We can only see their heads. We can't see. We can't see their other ends. Yeah. Cartoon logic, folks.
Yep.
So they're kind of hiding, waiting for the two kids to kind of meet up. And of course, you know who shows up? But of course, they do. And one of them has a bouquet. The girl has a bouquet of flowers. The boy has a new jet plane that Misty had purposely bought for the both of them. And, you know, she's confident that this is going to get them to fall in love with each other and kind of, you know, settle their rivalry between the two of them. Now, when the two see each other, Ralph is like, why did you send me this stupid letter? And, you know, the girl also is like, yeah, why did you send me this stupid letter? And then, of course, we find out that the girl is allergic to flowers. And the boy, it gets sick on airplanes. The Misty's plan backfires, and they start fighting each other with sticks again. What is this all about? Why? I don't understand.
Well, I guess they can't really have them just, you know, getting in a fisticuffs, I guess. So they have to kind of find a way around that, I suppose.
Yeah, and then, of course, they can't, you know, Ash and Tracy can't believe what happened. She's like, you know, Ash is like, Misty, you said this was a surefire plan. And Misty's like, well, I did say that I get them together, and that did happen, technically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ash is like, well, whatever.
Yeah, because even though Ash doesn't particularly look surprised by this, I mean, he kind of already had a feeling that the whole thing was going to fall flat on its face anyway.
Right.
But
so as they're doing that, we hear church bells in the background, and we see a bride and groom kind of walking up past the group, and, you know, as they're walking by, Ash and company, and even the boy and girl kind of like, congratulations, you know, good luck out there, and whatever, you know, catch more Pokemon, probably, Ash.
Yep.
But as we get closer, as the camera gets closer and closer to the two of them, we notice that who is this? None other than Jesse and James in disguise. And then they start doing a little rhyme, adding to their already lengthy Team Rocket spiel. And they grab the two Nidorans and, of course, reveal themselves as Team Rocket. And, of course, they do their motto. And as they're doing the motto, a giant wedding cake comes out of nowhere. How in the world did they hide this giant wedding cake?
Cartoon logic. That's the best way to describe it.
Cartoon logic. Because science. That's why.
Yep, exactly.
So, of course, Jesse and James reveal themselves. They're going to try to get away with these Nidoran. And instead of Meowth saying his usual, that's right, he says, hurry up and cut the cake. Which, yeah. I'm not going to lie, even though this is a fake cake, it does look delicious. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it really does. If only the cake wasn't fake.
Right. So, as this is happening, the cake does split in half, and we reveal that Inside the cake, which was hidden underground, is their balloon.
Yep.
And the balloon has a little heart with an arrow through it and little cans at the bottom, you know, just like your traditional marriage ceremony. And yep. So, of course, Team Rocket is trying to get away with the two Nidoran. So they decide to go after them. And, you know, the boy and the girl are you know, all sad about the fact that Team Rocket has stolen them. Now, Ash and Tracy go after Team Rocket while their owners just kind of sit there and go, oh, crap, what is going, you know, what are we going to do? And Misty turns around and goes, you know what? If you two haven't been fighting, this would have never happened. If you two would just have made up and, you know, stopped fighting with each other, then maybe, just maybe, this wouldn't have happened to them. Now, Misty tells the two, Tracy and Ash, you know, why are you standing there when Ash and Tracy had already kind of left a little bit, but they're looking down at something. And we see that these are the cans that were at the bottom of Team Rocket's balloon. And of course, I don't know why, but Team Rocket, Meowth probably, because he only has three fingers, didn't tie the cans tightly to the balloon. So of course, now they have a way to actually follow the Team Rocket. Now, we cut to Team Rocket, and they're trying for some reason to get these Nidoran into wedding clothes. Now, I don't understand why. It makes no sense to me. They say that they're trying to make them look the best for the boss. But...
yeah.
Really? Do they really have to be in wedding clothes for that?
Well, I guess maybe Jesse and James figured, hey, you know, since these two Nidoran want to be together, why not, you know, and since we did say early on that we were going to give them a bit of a honeymoon of sorts, you know, at least dress them up so at least to show that we did kind of meet it to some extent. I don't know, I mean, but again, cartoon logic, folks.
Cartoon logic, what are you going to do? All right, so anyways, as they're trying to do this, a can is thrown right next to where Meowth is standing, and they all look, and guess who's standing there? Of course, our heroes. And yep. Ash is like, yeah, I bet you didn't expect this. And yep. Team Rocket's like, well, how the heck do they find us? And then they follow. For some reason... So for some reason, the group grabbed a bag and put all the cans in, like, a recycling bag.
Yep.
Why did they do that? They're in a hurry. They're trying to get the Nidoran back.
Yeah, I mean, that really doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
But, you know, whatever. I mean, they're trying to be heroes. There are heroes. So
yep.
Meowth is like, well, I should have tied them a little tighter, I guess. And
actually, it was James who said that. But
right.
Yeah,
well, of course, because Meowth is the one who tied them. I would assume, you know, him only having three fingers.
Yeah,
probably why. So, anyways, so of course we get our Team Rocket battle for the episode. So Jesse pulls out Arbok, who starts to attack Tony and Maria. Now the boy and girl then go ahead and call out an attack, tackle attack. So the both of them tackle Arbok and knock him out, like, instantly. Like, wow,
yep.
Arbok must be a very low level.
Yeah, or either that or Tony and Maria have obviously been trained by Ralph and, what's
Emily.
Name?
Emily. Ralph
and Emily.
Emily,
you know, to where they're probably at a higher level than they look.
I guess so. Well, anyways, so James pulls out Victory Bell, and instead of the usual... Victory Bell going after James. This time, Victory Bell goes after Jesse.
Yep.
So the last time we saw Victory Bell, before last week's episode, Victory Bell went after a couple episodes ago. Victory Bell went after Meowth. And now it's Jesse's turn now.
Yep.
So, anyways, so then of course. Emily and Ralph go ahead and call out the attacks. Nidoran goes after Victory Bell, and Maria goes after Victory Bell, and Tony goes after Arbok. And, of course, the two of them fight together very, very well, you know, because they're in love. Because, you know, love makes you fight better somehow. I guess that's a thing. That's a thing that happens. So, you know. This is our first look at a double battle, which is my favorite type of battling in Pokemon. I'm not going to lie. I'm just going to throw it out there right now. I love double battles. So that was one of my favorite things that they added in the third one. So anyways, we're not going to go too in-depth on this battle. Let's just say Tony and Maria really help each other out. They help fight each other. They help fighting Arbok and Victory Belt. And Emily and Ralph realize that their Pokemon are fighting really well together. You know, as they're doing this, you know, they kind of realize that, maybe, you know, Emily isn't so bad, or maybe Ralph isn't so bad, you know? So the both of them are just, you know, they're winning, you know, they're winning. But of course, you know, Team Rocket isn't all that hard anyways. So, so as they do that, they call out Fury Swipes. Both of them call out Fury Swipes. And then of course you get the traditional, traditional anime blush. You see the both of them blushing because they called out the same attack. And then of course they do double kick. And of course, for some reason, because they call out double kick, the both of them kick.
Yep.
I don't know why, but of course, you know, whatever. So let's just scoot over that real quick. So anyways, they fight off Team Rocket, and Team Rocket kind of retreats to not get blown away. Well, we think they are retreating, but of course Meowth pulls out a giant vacuum to try to bring up, suck up all the Pokemon. Now, this is another one of my favorite parts of this episode. And I guess both my favorite parts of this episode are from Pikachu. Because Pikachu does something very smart. So, to make sure that none of the Pokemon get stolen, he grabs a branch and allows himself to get sucked up to where the vacuum is. Now, he puts the branch in a way, so they don't actually show this in the animation, I guess, because they didn't maybe have the budget or whatever, but Pikachu turns it in a way so that when he goes up to the vacuum, the branch kind of blocks it from him going in. And so Team Rocket just stares at the fact that Pikachu has done this. And then Pikachu gets this wonderful, wonderful grin on his face.
Yep.
Because you know what's coming up next.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I have to say, that is probably my favorite animation in this whole episode, is Pikachu's expression of, hey guys, guess what's gonna happen.
It's like, hey guys, you know what happens next now. I'm trying to take a wild guess. it's awesome, and I do like that Pikachu got a little strategic.
Well, yeah, strategic, right, but also a little mischievous. And this is something that I think Pikachu has lost in the newer seasons, is that Pikachu has a mischievous side to him. You know, we see that mischievous side a lot in this episode. You know, first with him, you know, kind of scooting to get to the fruit a little bit. And then later on, you know, this part right here where he just has this just wonderful smile of, he knows he just won. He knows that there is no way, you know, Team Rocket is going to retaliate from this. So he just has this wonderful grin on his face. And it's probably my favorite animation in this whole episode. Just a wonderful look for Pikachu. And now we think that this is the end, but the Thundershock just kind of stuns everybody for a second. And Misty calls out Staryu. Now Staryu does tackle attack, which to me kind of looks like rapid spin. But it doesn't exist yet because we're still in the first three games. Staryu breaks through the balloon, and of course, Team Rocket blasts off again, and we don't see them for the rest of the episode. So Misty says goodbye to everybody, and tells Team Rocket never to meddle in the affairs of love again. And Misty kind of makes this kind of scolding look at the two of them, and you see it in their face that they're kind of like, oh crap, we're about to get a lecture. So anyways, so Misty kind of gives this like little lecture of how their Nidoran, you know, are so great together and they're tearing them apart and they're not making their Pokemon be happy. And so they kind of realize this and they kind of learn their lesson and they don't want to say goodbye. They're like, well, we don't want to say goodbye to our Pokemon. And then it's kind of like, you know, Tracy's like, duh, guys, you are next door neighbors. Why in the world would you say goodbye to your Nidoran?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's one of those things where I guess they feel that if they let their Pokemon be together, they think, oh no, we'll never see them again.
But then they kind of the realization of the fact that they're neighbors. So, anyways, so Tracy makes this plan about them making a little house for their Nidoran in between the two houses. So this is kind of a cool idea, and so they all decide to kind of do that. And so they both make like a truce, and the Nidoran are super happy with each other. But we're not done yet, because the two Nidoran kiss, and the moment they kiss, they start glowing, and you know what that means. It's time for an evolution. And so Nidoran now evolve into a Nidorino and a Nidorina. So, so they evolved. Because, of course, you know as well as I do, it's one of the weirdest breeding things about these Pokemon are Nidorina and Nidorino can't breed with each other, which is really weird. They can't breed with each other until they evolve to Nidoking and Nidoking and Nidoqueen. So I don't know why, but that's just a thing. So of course, then Tracy says, I wonder if they evolved from the battle or from the kiss. And Misty, who is blushing a little bit, grabs Tracy's sketch pad and slaps him with it as she's blushing. Ash goes, wow, can two people really change from just a kiss? And Misty goes, well, I guess we'll find out ourselves someday. And then they kind of make this very long little look on Ash. You know, of course, this is the moment where a lot of Pokemon, a lot of Misty and Ash shippers are very excited. And fuels their fire.
Yep. Yep.
So anyways, so we say goodbye to Ralph and Emily, and we say goodbye to all of them. And of course, we leave. We think Team Rocket, we saw the last of Team Rocket, but of course, no, we haven't. They've been hit up into those church bells that we heard earlier. And the funniest part is that Victory Bell has actually taken the place of one of them.
Yep.
And so, of course, the narrator says, all's well that ends well, which, of course, is a reference to another William Shakespeare play. And Team Rocket breaks the fourth wall and says, all's well that ends well, that has a familiar ring. I'm like, oh, guys. Oh, guys. Oh, please. Then, of course, we end the episode. The end. So, that's it. Now, let's get into our pros and the cons for the episode. And I always like to let you go first, my friend Danny. Let's start off with our pros for this episode. Did you like this episode?
Well, that's kind of tough to say because, granted, don't get me wrong. I mean, I am a sucker for romantic stuff, specifically romantic comedies. But this episode did not really hit that level of entertainment value for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those episodes that it's one that you can bypass and not really miss anything.
Right.
You know that. But there are a few little moments that I did like, particularly with Pikachu kind of sneaking away to snack on some fruit while they're looking for Maria.
Right.
That was pretty cool. And of course, just the Ash and Misty banter, which never really gets old,
right.
You know, for the most part, or at least at this point in time,
right.
In the saga. So that's pretty cool. And it's pretty obvious that Ash still has a whole lot to learn in regards to, you know, human interactions and things like that. Because he was more so than catching Pokemon and whatnot.
But believe it or not, in the mythos of Pokemon, Ash and Serena actually met before Mystina. Before he met Misty. So, if you go back to X and Y, Serena and Ash met when they were very, very young. Professor Oak had a summer camp that Serena was a part of. So they've already set up the fact that that Serena and Ash know each other even before Misty and Ash did. So, you know, whatever. Like I said, I'm not a shipper. I don't really do shipping. I do like a few groups, and sometimes I even think it's kind of funny to see some people's their proof for this stuff. You know, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm a sucker for some romance too. You know, I will admit, I like romance too. But I'm not like a huge. I don't go around and ship characters. You know, I hope. I hope for things,
yeah.
But I'm not like a shipper. But anyways, so I will have to say for me, I like this episode,
yeah.
And I think out of all the throwaway episodes that we've seen so far in this arc, this is probably one of the episodes I actually didn't mind all that much. Is it my favorite episode in this arc so far? No, absolutely not. However. It is a pretty tight story. Now, does it really have to do anything with Ash being in Orange Islands? No, absolutely not. This has nothing to do with Ash being in the Orange Islands. This has nothing to do with him getting badges. Because believe it or not, Ash is supposed to be getting badges.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wait. You mean Ash has to get some badges so he can compete in a big tournament soon?
Right.
That kind of thing.
That's a thing that's supposed to be happening in this arc. So, but out of all the throwaway episodes that I've seen, that we've seen so far in this story arc, because again, I think a lot of, like I said last week, I think a lot of these throwaway episodes were put in just to make this arc a little bit longer, because they were really stalling for time for the second gen to come out. You know, this was the, you know, there was 3 years in between the original games in Japan and the second generation. There were 3 whole years.
Yes.
Okay. And they really had to fill. I mean, they probably finished the first season a lot quicker than they thought they would. So like a lot of animes, they had to make a kind of a bridge so that they could give time for the games to come out. Okay. So there are a lot of throwaway episodes. Last episode, I was not a fan of it. I was not a fan of that episode. It was very rough to get through. This episode was a little bit of a joy, actually. After the last episode being a really rough for me, this was actually kind of a joy. It was an episode that didn't take itself seriously, but it was kind of a tight episode, and it had a really good story, even though it technically was ripping off of Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
It still had a pretty good episode.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad thing. Sometimes, you know, referencing something else tends to help.
Yeah. So, as for my cons for this episode, I could really only say that because it's a throwaway episode. It has nothing to do with the Orange Islands. I mean, heck, they weren't. Technically, they were on an island, but it was so big that we couldn't tell, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and whatever island they were on was a lot bigger than the usual islands they go to.
Right.
Very big.
So it's a pretty big island. So, you know, as for this episode, I liked it. I did. But as a throwaway episode, I don't really care much for throwaway episodes. A lot of times... But this one was probably the best out of the three, if not anything, just because of Pikachu.
Yeah, Yeah, Pikachu definitely had some cool moments. Between the fruit tree thing and then being able to stop Team Rocket with the branch. You know, those were very, Pikachu really had a lot of cool moments here.
Yeah. So, anyways, so that's pretty much it. Anything else you want to add about this episode, Mr. Danny?
Nope. Not that I can think of.
Okay.
Nope, that's pretty much it. All right. So,
before we get into our next episode, let's go ahead and go into our next segment of the podcast where we're talking about how you can get in contact with us. Yay! So, Mr. Danny, where can they find us?
Well, the listeners can find us over at Arcade Archives, where you can find all sorts of geeky goodness, ranging from video games to articles, blog posts, and all sorts of things, retro video games, and just special events coming up.
Awesome.
And for me, in my case, you can also find me on fanfiction.net under the pen name Ultrasonic, and I am on Instagram as Ultrasonic Johnny.
Awesome. Yeah, we are part of the Arcade Archives Network. We are a network of nerd-related things. And yep. Like Danny said, you can find us on thearcadearchives.com. We have other podcasts besides this one. We have The Electric Circus with me and Raygun and also Danny. We have Cartoon Connoisseur Theater with myself and all kinds of different people who join me. Danny also has joined me a couple times. My Uber mom was on an episode. You know, Sayako was on an episode, you know, a couple times. You know, our friends Dave was on the episode as well, a couple episodes as well. So we have a whole bunch of contributors to the site. So feel free to go on the site and look us up. If you're listening to this on Facebook, if you're listening to this on YouTube, please make sure you subscribe and like and comment too. What did you think about this episode? What did you think about Wherefore Art Thou, Pokemon? Did you like it? Did you hate it? What did you think as a story in this overall arc here? So please let us know. Also, you can comment if you're listening to us on the website as well. Just go up to the top right of the post and you'll see a little word bubble. Just click that. And if you've clicked on the post, just scroll all the way down and there's a little place for you to comment as well. Now, also on the site, you can listen, not only just listen to podcasts, but we have articles like Danny's article, The Video Game Boombox, which just recently you put up Dr. Mario song, didn't you?
Yep, that I did.
That's because you were sick.
I was sick. That along with the fact that I was looking for a song to use for this month's Video Game Boombox, and I was kind of over the stump, and I realized, oh, wait, I just got over the flu, so why not go with Dr. Mario? And I'm glad I did.
Yeah. Check that out. We also have, of course, my monthly webcomic, Tales from the Game Grid. Every month, we'll be coming out with a comic. This month is a very special one. I know I've been teasing it for the last couple of episodes, but it's really, really cool. It's going to take me a little longer to get it out than I thought it would. But it's going to be really cool when you guys see it. I'm very excited about it. We are bringing back a very, very popular video game character who has been on the podcast before, and it's actually one of my favorite video game characters. She will be joining us again on Tales from the Game Grid, so look out for that. I think that was a pretty good tease. What do you think?
Oh yeah, that was pretty good.
All right. So also you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/arcade1981. Or facebook.com/talesfromthegamegrid. You can also follow us on Twitter at Arcade A Network. Again, that's at Arcade A Network. You can follow me on Twitter at TalesFTGameGrid. Again, that's at TalesFTGameGrid. Also, you can follow us on Instagram at The Arcade Archives Network. You can follow us. We try to post at least once or twice a week. So, and anything that new that comes up, we always announce it. So, make sure you're checking that out. And, thank you again so much for listening. We are so happy. We have a whole bunch of followers and a whole bunch of listeners out there. But we do want you to comment, so please leave comments, and we will definitely read them on the next podcast. So, all right. I think that's about it. Anything else you want to add to where they can find us?
Nope. I think we got it covered.
All right, great. So, on the next episode of Pokemon Rewind, we are going over an episode called Get Along Little Pokemon. In case you didn't tell, we're going to have a little bit of a Western next time with this Pokemon. Now, this episode I've seen before. So, Ash and company are still on the same island, believe it or not. But they decide to go on a, they decide to help out a Pokemon Magnemite rancher as he is, trying to get his Magnemite to a Pokemon Center that has lost, some power. So what's going to happen? And is Team Rocket going to try to steal those Magnemite? Yes, the answer is yes. Yes, they will. They will try. So,
So it looks like it's going to be up to Ash to saddle up and teach those farmers a lesson.
That's right. So in just a moment, we're going to give you a little bit of a tease for that episode. So thank you again so much for listening. Why don't you say goodbye to the people, Mr. Danny?
All right. So thank you so much to everybody out there for listening. And as always, keep playing like it's 1981, and also keep playing with power, because there are no limits.
Best wishes, everybody.
Are those
Magnemite?
Magnemite, the magnet Pokemon, is able to float through the air and emits Thunder Wave through its magnet-shaped units located on its sides.
I wonder what a bunch of Magnemite would be doing all the way out here. Look at that.
Looks like the Magnemite are absorbing the lightning.
Jolt, jolt,
huh?
Jolt, 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 jolt.
Ash, that's a Jolteon!
Jolteon, the lightning Pokemon. When angered or frightened, the hairs on Jolteon's body become like needles that are fired at its opponents. It absorbs charged atoms and can produce 10,000 volts of electricity.
Hop in, pilgrims! Hurry! You'll be safe from the lightning in here.
Thank you for listening to this Arcade Archives Network podcast. If you like this, please go to iTunes and write a review. You can also comment on thearcadearchives.com. Again, that's thearcadearchives.com. You can also go over to our other website, zowiekerpowie.com. Again, zowiekerpowie.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at TailsFTGameGrid. Again, at TailsFTGameGrid. Thank you again so much for joining us here for this Arcade Archives Network podcast, and keep playing like it's 1981.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all.